It's good to be with you and be able to share this morning. I hope your minds aren't too quiet you'll be able to digest something today. I want us to just focus on Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I was going to speak on something totally different, and then during the week I felt I needed to focus on this passage, and it's an important passage for us all, but it's one of those passages where it's got a therefore in, and that always means that you need to look at the passage before to understand exactly what the writer's getting at. And Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, just two short verses, but they're packed with stuff that are very important for us. Now, Paul has been writing to the Romans about the difference between Jews and Gentiles. That the Jews had rejected the Messiah, and so they weren't actually entering in to all the benefits that God intended for them to have. And he talks about the Gentiles being grafted in to the stock. A vigorous stock, a vigorous root. And the Gentiles are grafted in, but it's on the basis of this that we are actually included in something. We're benefiting from something because God in creation had a bigger perception than just Israel. Israel thought they were the bee's knees. They had the one true God. God was their God. He was their possession. But God always had this vision of the whole world being blessed through Israel, through Jesus. And you've got this picture where Paul here is writing to the Romans, and he said, I beseech you, I'm pleading with you. I can't really express it strongly enough, but I want you to make a response. When you go around preaching, there are occasions when you preach and there is a responsiveness. There is an occasion when there are quiet minds and you can see it, the blank faces, and you can see just that I'm not communicating here. But there are those times when people aren't bumps on a log, but they're taking in. And Paul is saying, look, I want you to take in. I want you to get hold of this. I want you to understand it because it's God's message for you. I beseech you. Because of what God has done, because Israel isn't enjoying the benefits that God had promised them, they've rejected God's blessing. You are coming into God's blessing. Now, because you're coming into God's blessing, it's by His mercies. I've been blessed just recently through the Book of Lamentations. Not the most stimulating of books, you know, it's a bit dour, but Jeremiah was like that. But right in the middle, chapter 3 and verses 22 to 27, suddenly you've got this word of, well, I'll read it and then we'll get the right thing. Lamentations is just after Jeremiah. And he says this: through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. That's the message of Romans 11. That's what Paul is bringing into Romans 12 here. Through the mercies of God we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. That's what Gemma was talking about. His compassions, they fail not. Whatever the situation, he is the same. He's constant. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. It's by his mercies. And Paul says here, brethren, by the mercies of God, recognize that you're living in an area where you're not getting what you deserve. You see, mercy is when God doesn't give us what we deserve. We deserve to be consumed. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. Salvation. Blessing. Strength for today. And so you've got this picture here of Paul saying, look, you've got into the big picture. It's by the mercies of God that you can now serve him. Present your body. I find that there are a lot of Christians who present their mind, but not the rest of them. You know, they're theorists. They know all the doctrine. They know all the facts. But they don't live it. And what Paul is saying here is, look, present your body, because it's... You just exist because of the mercy of God. So present yourself completely. Don't hold anything back. Present all you do. Colossians 3:23 just comes to mind. A very special verse for me. There was an occasion when I think it was custard that Pam had burnt into a pan. It had been simmering for a while, so I was on washing up and I got this pan that was black. And you know those times when you'd really love to have a go at the one who burnt the pan, but you know that's not very spiritual. And a friend had taught us Colossians 3:23. And he put it to music, and it's, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto man. And suddenly I felt, I'm not cleaning this pan for Pam, I'm cleaning this pan for the Lord, and whatever you do. And so I was at the sink In the days of Brillo pads, you know, there's a family over in Newtown, and they've got a dog called Brillo. You know, and every time I see him, I think of a Brillo pad. But anyway, I'm standing at the sink, scrubbing away, and singing, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto man. And the pan got clean. Because I changed my focus. That's the sort of thing that it means to present your body a living sacrifice. I didn't want to clean that pan, but it needed cleaning. And by doing it to the Lord, it became a blessing to Pam. Hey, present your body a living sacrifice. You know, sometimes I think it would be, depending on the method that I became a martyr, it would be easier to be a martyr than a living sacrifice. Do you know what I mean? It would be easier to die than to carry on living. Because I believe that Paul had it right. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I know, he said, what's best for me. But I'm very conscious of what's best for you. And right now, somehow you need me. That's what he's basically saying. So present your body a living sacrifice. Doing what? Maybe cleaning a pan. Maybe something else that you don't really like. But something that you can do for Jesus. And in doing it for Jesus, it will be a blessing to somebody else. Holy. Not any old thing. Not just good enough. But Paul says, holy. The Lord says, you be holy, for I am holy. He's lifted the bar. You know, I see these pole vaulters running with the big pole and sticking it into the ground and sailing over the bar. And I think, I'd love to have done that. Fantastic. And when God says, be holy, like I'm holy, the bar's gone up another notch. Now, you haven't been there before. There's something new, a fresh standard, a new place to attain to. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Now, you don't have to put your hand up to this one. But have you ever done something and you've thought, I wonder if so-and-so noticed? I wonder if anybody saw me doing that. Yeah, you've done it. But it's not doing it for somebody else to see. It's something you're doing. And it doesn't matter if only God sees. You're doing it unto Him. Something that's acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Hey, that's a challenge. You know, when I give everything to God, I've not given him anything. Because it's only reasonable. It's reasonable in the light of everything he's given to me. It's reasonable in the light of the fact that it's by his mercies that Bill O'Leary is not consumed. It's reasonable because I'm nobody and he is everything. So I can give everything and I can't outgive God. It's just reasonable. I'm not paying a debt. I'm living the life that he gave me for his glory. And then he goes on and he talks about, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world. Now, unfortunately, my bit of plasticine has gone a bit cold, and you haven't got the radiator on today. Surprise, surprise. But you see, this is what being conformed means. Don't let the world push you into shape. Don't let the world determine what you look like. Don't let the world set the standard for you. Talking to somebody just recently, and they were their daughter is getting married, and a couple of weeks later their son is getting married, and he was bemoaning how much it's going to cost. And he was bemoaning the fact that his wife wants him to have two different suits. And getting him into one suit is a big job. You know, and so he's sort of looking at it and it's so expensive. And he said, you know, it wasn't very long ago when somebody would just get married in the best dress they had. But who set the standard? You see, it's the world setting the standard. It's the world pushing us into shape. Sometimes the world gets into the church and just puts the pressure on. Changes the shape of things. Makes things different. What Paul's saying is, don't let the world set the standard. Don't let the world push you into shape. Now, when Wayne's just come to check up on me today, but when they were little, they'd bring me a lump of plasticine and say, make a man. And I could push it into shape because it was warmer than this. And I could make a man. Make a dog. Make a horse. It was the same bit of plasticine, but it depended where you put the pressure. Who's putting the pressure on you? Where's the pressure coming from? There was a business in Tewkesbury, and they were doing an appraisal. They sent somebody from head office. And the man doing the appraisal said to the manager, you've got to do better. You've got to put more time into the business. And the man said, my wife's already saying she never sees me. And you know what the man said?
get another wife. That's the pressure. That's the pressure that the world brings in. And we need to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. And the word for transformed is the same word that covers this whole wonderful experience that a butterfly goes through, from being a caterpillar to a chrysalis to the butterfly. Metamorphosis. And you know, that's the wonder of the gospel. Because God can take caterpillars and turn us into fantastic butterflies. Something that is creepy, crawly, and if it's hairy, it's dangerous. And change it from being vulnerable to give it a freedom. I walked down our garden this morning and I saw a moth that I've never seen before. I'm waiting to get hold of a book and look out and find out what it is. Hey, but it was beautiful. But it's been a caterpillar once. See, that's what... Don't let the world push you into shape, but let God transform you. Let God make you something beautiful. There's a process to go through. But most of the process, you've got a quiet mind anyway. And you're in a peaceful place. But what comes out is fantastic. And he said that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There's a process here. To prove something, and when I was in engineering, there were times when we would send something off to a special lab to see how long it would last in certain situations. They'd take it to breaking point. And you know, the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. You've got to open your mouth to taste. You've got to do something deliberate. You've got to put something in your mouth to taste it, haven't you? You can't just sit back and say, God, you do it all. You've got to take some action. You've got to take the initiative sometimes. You've got to taste. And then you'll see that God is good. But it says here, to prove. God's big enough that we can prove him to the point of destruction. Because he won't be destroyed. And there are some things about the will of God. I was talking to somebody a little while back and I said, you know, I think you could do this. And the person looked and it was about serving God. And he said, I'd have to change my lifestyle. And I said, well, that wouldn't be a bad thing. But he didn't want to change his lifestyle. So anything that God had said to him wouldn't be good. And you've got to come to a point where you say, God's will for me is good. And when you recognize that the will of God for you is only ever good, then it becomes acceptable. And then when you get engaged and you do it, it becomes perfect. Now, everything in my life has never been perfect. But the will of God that I've experienced is perfect. But it started off, and I had to recognize that it was good. And then I had to accept that this is the will of God for me. And then I lived in the perfection of it. But listen, I was brought up on a truth that people put forward to me, that you have to find the perfect will of God. Well, listen, I've come to the point of realizing that God is bigger than his perfect will. Because if you look at Romans 8 and verse 28, it says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You know that, what that tells me? God can handle my failure. God can handle my mistakes. Because when I get it wrong, he's able to work it together for good. Isn't that tremendous? You don't always have to be right. It's nice to be right. But you don't have to be right. You need to be walking with God. You need to know that he's in control of your life. He's transforming your life. And he's bringing you to that place where you not only will be blessed by him, but you'll be a blessing to the people who come in contact with you. That's the challenge. Now, the last time I shared this message was a little while ago, and after I decided that it was what I was going to share today, I got a telephone call, and I'd been asked to speak at a baptismal service, because when I shared this message before, two ladies were challenged. And the result is they're being baptized on the 5th of July. And I've been asked to speak. Now, I didn't know anything happened that morning. I didn't need to know. Because God knew. But what are you presenting to God today? A living sacrifice, or bits and pieces, a bit here, a bit there. Are you being conformed by the world, or transformed? Because your mind has been renewed. Let's pray. Father, we just ask now that you'd help us not just to be hearers of the word, but doers also. Lord, help us to live because you've given us so much. You've blessed us in so many ways. And Father, we just ask you now that you'd pour out your Spirit upon this fellowship. And Lord, may this anniversary time be a time when your transforming work reaches this village for your glory. Pour out your Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.